The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
For now, let's talk sustainability, something that's become rooted in how food and beverage companies operate.
And Food Industry Asia, which is based right here in Singapore, was founded in 2010 by a group of leading food and beverage companies to enable major food manufacturers to speak with one voice in Asia.
Yeah, so here's what they do, okay? They bring together multinational brands, national industry associations, academics, governments, and international organizations, all to drive action, change, and of course promote sustainable growth.
And five of the top six biggest plastic polluting nations, oh, deep breath, they are in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
The region has a responsibility then to find ways to reduce its impact on the world's oceans.
So what they did was the Food and Industry Asia has commissioned this study on sustainable packaging, tackling plastic waste in Asia. And to tell us that and more is Edwin Sia, Head of Sustainability and Communications at Food Industry Asia. Edwin, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having us here.
So it seems really obvious why Food Industry Asia was launched in the first place, but could you just tell us a bit more about the genesis of it?
Sure. So in 2010, I don't know if you guys are young enough to remember this, but there was this outbreak of melamine in China that tainted infant and milk powder, I think.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I remember
close
it,
to
yeah.
News, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the major brands realized that they didn't really have a body to represent them and to, you know, advance some of the issues that were important in industry. And so they decided to come together and set up FIA, if you would, in Singapore.
Right, right. So how do we enable major food manufacturers across Asia to come together and agree, being the most important thing here, agreeing to complex challenges? You're talking regulatory standards, food safety, effective public health approaches?
Well, I mean, if you look at it, it's not that difficult because all these issues are common to them. They might be competitors, but they all face the same problems of nutrition, food safety, and increasingly sustainability. So I think it makes sense for them to come together as a larger industry grouping to tackle some of these issues rather than at the individual company level.
I'm going to brace myself for the answer to the next question because I've got a feeling it's going to be quite shocking. In 2018, then, you commissioned this study on sustainable packaging, tackling plastic waste in Asia. What were some of the results from that? And I'm sure that the figures on plastic waste are quite harrowing.
Well, you'll be surprised, actually. There were some consistent findings across the four countries. So we covered Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Thailand. And you can find that almost around a 50% mark, the main issue was actually low waste collection rates in these countries, except for the Philippines. The Philippines had a very high waste collection at about 70%. However, 20% of that actually is what we call leaked along the way, meaning from the time it's collected to when it's properly disposed, it's actually littered along the way.
Okay.
So that's the first commonality we found. And the second commonality we found across all four countries was that any initiatives undertaken to tackle the problem was at what we call the micro or small levels. So technically, all these efforts affected 5% or less of the waste generated. So definitely more needs to be put into to this area of waste collection.
I think one of the biggest problems when it comes to waste collection or plastic waste, right? What do you think here in Asia are some of the challenges when it comes to plastic waste? I've noticed personally the evolution of my recycling bin outside near my HDB block. Now it's got full labels on telling you what exactly you need to do when you dispose of your plastic waste. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's gotten quite complex, to be honest. And like you said, let's try to simplify things so that it's easier for the residents and for consumers. But let's also not forget the value of plastics in the first place, why it was invented. I mean, the qualities, the lightweight. And if you just look at the region, Southeast Asia, you've got issues that we grapple with. You've got humidity, you've got environment, you've got the geographic spread in terms of distributing food that is produced. So you really need packaging such as plastics to really protect the content, both from a food waste perspective as well as from a food safety perspective.
It's interesting that you're saying this because this is in the headlines today. Coca-Cola, the sustainability chief of Coca-Cola, saying that it won't ditch single-use plastic bottles because consumers still want them, they reseal, they're lightweight. I mean, they produce 3 million tonnes of plastic packaging a year, equivalent to 200,000 bottles a minute, and they are one of your members. Like, how do we take a comment like that?
I think we've got to look at it at several levels. So on the one hand, companies like Coca-Cola and all the other brands are doing their part on the innovation space in terms of packaging. So looking at new materials, looking at recycled packaging materials, but they're also doing their part in terms of investing in infrastructure around the region. So for example, in Vietnam, several companies, including Coca-Cola, came together to set up an organization that would help to collect and recycle packaging waste. So I think it's going to be a long journey with big changes. Mm-hmm. And again, given the complexities of the region, it's not something that you can just ditch and then, you know, go with something, because we don't really have that something in terms of an alternative to go with. So we just have to be a little bit careful, but at the same time, responsible with how we consume products and how we dispose of it.
Right. Edwin, you are head of sustainability and communications, Food Industry Asia. And just tapping on this Asia aspect, where the region is concerned, is there one country or a few countries that are somewhat leading the way when it comes to managing, you know, plastic waste, for example?
You won't go too far. We look at the Japanese model, you look at the Taiwanese model. Mm. They have been very advanced, but also the reason, if you look back why they've been so advanced, is two things, because they've drilled into the citizenry, if you would, this consciousness about, you know, self and country and community. Sure. And environment. But at the same time, they've also invested in plans and strategies and infrastructure to meet with the growing demands of population and consumption. So I think they've definitely been a shining star when you look at the issues of waste and recycling. Mm.
Just picking up on the Japanese and Taiwanese model, in Taiwan, the garbage truck comes around and you've sort of, it creates a, it's got a very funny musical tune as well.
Yeah.
You create this culture where you dispose of your waste there and you've already sort of separated out your waste. In Japan, a little bit more extreme, I wanted to ask, would such a model work in Singapore? Because I walk down the street of Japan for blocks and blocks and all I see are bins to recycle plastic alone. What are your thoughts?
Well, yes, you're right. So if you go to Japan, for example, you see like up to 10, 15 different bins to help you sort different elements of packaging.
Or you hold on to your own waste.
Yeah, all you hold on to your waste. But it was quite interesting. I went to somewhere close to Disneyland a couple of years ago and I was trying to look for a rubbish bin. Couldn't find any. But
same.
At the same time, you couldn't find even so much as a speck of rubbish on the floor, and you wonder where it all goes to. But so apparently these guys there, you know, they're so conscious and responsible that they keep it and then they bring it to disposal centres. So I think definitely in a place like Singapore, it should work. But at the same time, you know, given our busy lifestyles and all that, I think it's also useful. We can come together to see how to make the whole process painless and much more, you know, maybe even fun and educational for everyone.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that, fun and educational.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a practice after the breakfast huddle every morning. We go out for breakfast. You know, we have our little debrief and we talk about the day. But one of the things I've noticed is certainly at a local level here in Singapore, there still seems to be amongst, you know, F&B outlets, and I'm talking about the smaller ones now, not necessarily the big players that you represent, still so much plastic being used, still so much that can't be recycled. What do we do about that?
Well, yeah, it's a quite big headache, if you would. And you're right, because you go to any bakery store, for example, you buy 10 pieces of pastry and they put it in 10 pieces of bags. So I think it's two things. It's, on the one hand, it's a mindset change. I mean, you and I, so often when we go shopping, we're so used to having plastic bags and all that. It's probably a good time now for us to be much more conscious to ask, do we really need it? And if we don't, then, you know, that's going to save quite a bit. But I think also it's important to help what you call your mom and pop stores, the SMEs, to kind of like rise up to the sustainability challenge.
Sure.
It's not cheap, it's not easy, but I think if they have the support, both from industry as well as from government, I think that goes a long way to helping to change all these habits towards plastics. You know, but at the end of the day, let's remember, plastics is not evil, but we really need to be more mindful of how we use it, when we use it, and how we dispose of it.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It is the Breakfast Huddle. Elliot Danka, Manisha Tank with you. Today, our Sustainable Singapore special, and we're speaking with Edwin Sia, Head of Sustainability and Communications, Food Industry Asia. Edwin, before the break, we talked about what we as individuals can do when it comes to plastic waste. But what about the enablers? Sorry, the F&B industry. Is there something at their end that they can do to use less plastic?
Well, definitely. So if you look at the brand owners, FIA members, they are already trying to look at different ways to either use less plastics or alternative materials. So there's a lot of investments and a lot of research into innovation and alternative even delivery systems to, you know, so that you reduce the need for packaging and plastics. At the retail or at the outlet level, so we're talking about like restaurants and all that, definitely. A lot of them are already switching to sustainable cutlery that are, you know, either reusable or they've taken away straws and stuff like that. So, and we spoke about bakeries, for example. It's time to think about, you know, reducing the number of plastics that is readily given out. And I remember a time where sometimes when you buy groceries, it's put in paper bags rather than plastic bags. So perhaps it's a good time to also explore going back to some of these earlier models that served us quite well.
Or a basket.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, I remember being very young and going to markets, sort of open-air markets with my mother, doing our fruit and vegetable grocery shopping at the weekends with a basket, and everything was in paper bags.
Exactly. Good times.
Yeah, and supposedly it was progressive when we moved to plastic. Mm-hmm. But that gets me onto the subject of what are the best alternatives, and are the best alternatives really viable? Because then we get into a whole other conversation about it's great to have alternatives, but currently we have to use a lot of water, for example, to produce those alternatives.
Right.
The raw materials for producing them is still not quite there.
Right. So you hear a lot about glass, but glass also has its issues because of the weight and durability.
Yeah.
You hear about aluminium, of course, because a lot of aluminium cans on the inside is lined with plastics, so that impacts things like recyclability. So really, that's why the challenge is to find a true alternative to plastics that will serve its purpose, because if you talk about food range, we're talking about dry food, wet food, powdered food, liquid foods, and we're talking about the region where issues of distribution as well as storage is going to be a major issue. Not every household in some parts of the region have, for example, refrigeration. So that also that's going to impact the lifespan of the food, the shelf life, and even the contents. So therefore, safety issues. So a lot of things to grapple with. But industry is looking at it, and we're working with different parts of the supply chain, if you would, to reduce the need for plastics and to increase the use of recyclable material where we can.
Do your members ever complain that the alternatives are still too expensive? Like the move to being more sustainable in F&B is an expensive move?
Well, the challenge with alternatives is in discovering it. And as with any research, and particularly when you talk about food contact materials, it's going to take a long, long while to do the research, to go through the regulatory hoops. But the benefit is that the members are coming together, what we call a pre-competitive level. So in Singapore, for example, several of them came together. We co-convene what we call a circular materials lab together with the likes of Nestle, Procter & Gamble, EDB and A-Star. And the purpose was from across the industry to come together to look at what are the urgent issues related to packaging and materials, and then to invest and research to accelerate discovery. So that's something that the industry is doing, and I think more needs to be done. Of course, our universities and schools can also help, because they definitely have the resources to do a lot of research and you know, partnering with industry, I think that's got to be the way to go.
We're speaking with Edwin Seah, Head of Sustainability and Communications, Food Industry Asia. This whole push for, you know, plastic wastage, packaging wastage and all that has kind of reminded us that we forgot what our parents used to teach us. Don't waste your food. What are your thoughts on food waste?
Absolutely. It's a big problem. And in the region, especially with growing populations, growing middle class, and earlier on I mentioned the issues with waste collection and infrastructure, you're going to have a perfect storm of sorts in 10 years' time. So, for example, the population projection in ASEAN alone, in 10 years' time, 2030, it's expected to hit over 700 million people. And they say that about you know, anywhere from a quarter to half of that is going to be middle class.
Yeah.
So you're going to have more people. You're going to have more people with more spending power. They'll consume more. And if you don't have proper infrastructures and education and other policies and regulations in place, you're going to have waste issues. You're going to have you know, a lot of problems that is going to not go away that soon.
Yeah. You know, I had a friend in my condo who decided to start composting food waste on their balcony.
Nice.
But the problem, but there are issues around that. So you've got to have the right kind of equipment and materials,
which they
claimed that they'd bought, but they ended up having insect infestations on their balcony, which didn't go down very well with the residents. So there are the challenges. Of doing this in an urban setting, aren't there? Let's get on to the fact that you guys, the FIA, are hosting this Food for the Future Summit. Mm-hmm. That comes back on the 23rd of April this year. The spotlight on innovation, for sustainability. Just walk us through some of the key themes.
So it's a annual highlight on our calendar, and it brings together all the who's who, if you would, of the food industry. It's not just about the brand owners, but we bring together VCs, we bring together startups and innovators, governments, really to talk about not just current issues, but hopefully looking ahead, what's coming up, what's new. So there's going to be some big names that will be in town. So the likes of, for example, we're going to have the Chief Sustainability Officer for PepsiCo. We're going to have the CEO for Suntory Beverages Asia. You might have heard of Dilma Tea. So we're going to have Dilhan Fernando, who's the CEO of Dilma Tea, to come join us. And of course, kicking it off, we're going to have the Chairman of Enterprise Singapore, Mr. Peter Ong, to set the stage. So I think it's an important gathering. And like you mentioned, it's just not about some of the themes that are close to FIA's heart, but it's about, forward-looking stuff. So we talk about like innovation and nutrition. We're talking about investment opportunities in sustainability, food waste, e-commerce, and things that you're going to impact the industry.
I was just going to say, you mentioned Dilma Tea. So I've been up to some of the Sri Lankan tea plantations, and it's interesting because sustainability there, it isn't just about sort of down the supply chain. It's also how you take care of your people. It's an entire culture. But yeah, I thought that was quite interesting.
We've been speaking with Edwin Siahit of Sustainability and Communications for Food Industry Asia. Edwin, thank you so much for taking the time today. Happy Lunar New Year in advance.
Yes. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me here, and Happy New Year.
And to you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.